From the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, this is the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because truth matters and life matters more.
Can one person make a difference? The Reverend Martin Luther King Jr., who we remember today, profoundly changed the course of American history with his nonviolent resistance to racial segregation and discrimination. As Dr. King made clear, the consistent application of biblical principles inevitably leads to emancipation. Yes, one person can make a difference.
On today's special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, we present a previously recorded episode of the Hank Unplugged podcast. Hank's guest is Frederica Matthews Green, author of Real Choices, Listening to Women, Looking for Alternatives to Abortion. Here now is Hank Hanegraaff.
And welcome to another edition of the Hank Unplugged podcast, a podcast that is committed to bringing the most interesting, informative, and inspirational people directly to your earbuds. And one of those inspirational, informative, interesting people is Frederica Matthews Green. And she is difficult for me to introduce because there's so many different ways I could do it. On the one hand, she's a mentor and a friend, and I would say a hero to my children, my family in general. But she's also someone who has made an indelible mark on our culture. She is an author, not only of books, but also of essays. She's written more than 800 essays. She's written for such diverse publications as The Washington Post, The Smithsonian, and The Wall Street Journal. She's also been a regular commentator for NPR and a podcaster for Ancient Faith Radio. One of the interesting things about Frederica is that she once was a staunch feminist. If you go all the way back to the early 70s, she was a strong advocate for abortion. She believed that abortion was essential as an element of a woman's control over her own life. But she later came to view abortion as an act of violence against unborn children, but also one which hurts a mother. And so she has been a person who was involved in not only speaking about the horrors of abortion, but what happens to a woman when she has an abortion. One of the books that I really want to focus on in this podcast is a book titled Real Choices, Listening to Women, Looking for Alternatives to Abortion. And at the very outset, I want to point out that Frederica is lauded, or at least respected, not only by pro-lifers, but by pro-choicers as well. And I'll give you an example of that. For Frederica writes that no one wants an abortion as she wants an ice cream cone, or as she wants a Porsche. She wants an abortion as an animal caught in a trap wants to gnaw off its own leg. Now, the reason I bring up that particular quote is not because it's memorable, but because it was the quote of the week in Planned Parenthood's Public Affairs Action Letter. It was the quote of the month in the Pro-Choice Network newsletter. But it was also a quote that first appeared for a pro-life movement. So here you have both the pro-choice side and the pro-life side using a quote from Frederica Matthews Green. So she's highly respected. She's eminently quotable. She's a great friend to the Christian Research Institute, the Bible Answer Man broadcast, and the Hank Unplugged podcast. And I'm delighted, as always, to have you on this podcast, Frederica.
Hi, Hank. thanks so much for having me again. I love hearing your voice, and talking to you is always so easy and enjoyable. So I very much appreciate your asking me on the show.
Well, you know, you have interviewed me a few times as well. I remember we were having some function at my house, and there were all kinds of people over there, and you had a tape recorder, and you were interviewing me with kids pulling at my legs and, you know.
Couple of dogs in and out.
Yeah, dogs in and out.
Oh,
that's right.
Boy,
yeah.
It was a lot of fun.
Well, I truly love and respect you. And I want to start out this podcast by asking you a simple question, which is, how did you become a pro-life advocate?
Oh, boy, that really is something. Yes, as you said, I was not a Christian in college. My religion was feminism. I had a bumper sticker on my car that said, "Don't labor under a misconception, legalize abortion." So I was very blasé about it. And I, you know, assisted my friends and supported them when they had abortions. What changed my mind, I was home on break, over Christmas break, and I picked up a magazine, my father's copy of Esquire magazine. This was January 1976. And there was a little short article, just two pages, by a doctor. He didn't do abortions, but he was curious about them. And he asked his friend, he said, "Next time you do one, I'd like to just observe." So he just described, and the title of the piece was, "What I Saw at the Abortion." And what he saw in this almost late-term abortion was the woman lying back on the table, and his friend, the doctor, took a syringe and stuck it right into her abdomen, pushing through the walls of the abdomen into the uterus and injecting the uterus with a hormone solution, prostaglandin. And he left the needle standing there, and the doctor writing it said, "I see something I didn't expect. I see that the syringe is wobbling back and forth."
Mm.
And he realized that it was the death throes of the unborn child. This was published in Esquire magazine. And so he said, "You know, what I saw there, you can tell me all kinds of things about abortion, but nothing is able to answer the truth of what I saw that day." And for me, that really hit me because, you know, as a hippie feminist, I was anti-war, anti-death penalty, anti-this, anti-that. We can have a society with no violence. I was even a vegetarian at that time. And in all of these things, at the very center of it was my feminism. At the center of the feminism was the need to be able to have an abortion. And I saw in a flash that it was an act of violence, that I was opposed to violence everywhere else in my convictions. And I had this huge anomaly, this huge reversal at the very center of what I believed. So, Hank, that, like, changed my mind in an instant. I was just so repelled by that thought. But I didn't, I didn't know what to do about it. I was so liberal. I didn't like conservatives. You know, I didn't want to have pro-life friends. And so I just kind of kept this to myself until I heard of an organization called Feminists for Life. And I ended up becoming a vice president in Feminists for Life and speaking on college campuses all over the country, trying to present a secular case for how abortion actually hurts women.
Hmm.
So that was how I got into it.
Yeah, so it's not only violence against the unborn child, but it's violence against a woman. And that's one of the things that you emphasize over and over again in your book, Real Choices.
Yes, yes. We tend to gloss over that, but this is a horribly invasive procedure. It's worse than a natural miscarriage because in a natural miscarriage, at least the whole body is kind of in on the process and the hormones are adjusting. Everything's adjusting to that sad state. But with this chemical or mechanical invasion of the uterus, turning everything upside down, bringing death into the house of life, you know, introducing death into the center of a woman's being, It's so unnatural, and it's such a violation of her bodily integrity. It's impossible for a rational person to think this is actually a feminist goal.
How do you overcome abortion fatigue? One of the things that I was considering as I was talking to David and various other people about doing this podcast is that people hear about abortion over and over again, and then they end up sort of tuning it out. I just don't want to deal with this. I don't want this on my horizon. I don't want to think about this.
Wow, that's really true. And you know, I was just reading this afternoon something about if you say climate change, that's one thing, but if you keep saying climate emergency or climate crisis, people just get numb to it, and they don't hear it anymore. So it actually backfires to use extreme language.
Don't go away. In just a few moments, we'll rejoin Hank Hanegraaff's conversation with Frederica Matthews Green. No one wants an abortion as she wants an ice cream cone or a Porsche. She wants an abortion as an animal caught in a trap wants to gnaw off its own leg. When Frederica Matthews Green's essay containing that line was published, pro-life leaders began quoting it. But it started showing up in pro-choice publications too. It seems that the two sides agree on one thing. Abortion is a miserable choice. Be sure to read Real Choices, Listening to Women, Looking for Alternatives to Abortion by Frederica Matthews Green. Call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping, life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive collection of the most often asked as well as most difficult questions Hank Hanegraaff has received in nearly three decades of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. This expanded edition contains new entries, leading readers to a better understanding of God and our relationship to Him in Jesus Christ. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive, handy, and attractive volume that you will return to again and again. Take your exploration of God's Word to new heights and receive the Revised and Updated Complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources, along with a complimentary subscription to the Christian Research Journal, are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org. Let's rejoin Bible Answer Man host Hank Hanegraaff and his guest, Frederica Matthews Green, in their conversation.
If you keep saying climate emergency or climate crisis, people just get numb to it, and they don't hear it anymore. So it actually backfires to use extreme language. That's a problem that pro-lifers have faced from the beginning, because there's no way that this is not an extreme and horrifying thing to do, that we have committed 62 million abortions in America since Roe v. Wade. It's like the only thing you can do is to try to numb your mind so you think about something else. It's so horrifying that if it turns out it really is a baby, pro-choice people can't even admit that to themselves. It's just so overwhelming.
How did you feel about Roe v. Wade in the 70s?
Back in the early days, I was a volunteer for a feminist magazine called Off Our Backs, and I actually had a movie review published in the issue that came out immediately after Roe v. Wade. And the editorial said, Roe v. Wade doesn't go far enough. It says that you have to have a medical reason for an abortion in the last trimester, and that shouldn't be a restriction. Women should be able to have abortions whenever they want them. So that's where I was. I was so extreme on this. Now, the thing that's happened, though, is sonograms. Because for me, you know, people told me it was a blob of tissue, and I believed that. But everybody's seen a sonogram now. Everybody knows that it is a baby. There's really no denying that. It's kind of a schizoid thing that we pretend we don't know that, and we call it a fetus if the woman's walking in an abortion clinic. Otherwise, we call it a baby. Everybody knows there's something wrong there.
I want to tell a story, Frederica. This happened in my studio. I was talking about the tapestry of life and how the tapestry of life begins with essentially a single thread. And then through a process of incredible precision, a microscopic egg in one human being is fertilized by a sperm cell from another. And that process not only marks the beginning of a new life, but it also marks the genetic future of that life. And I was explaining how in time that fertilized egg divides into the 30 trillion cells that make up the human body, including 12 billion brain cells that form over 120 trillion synapses or connections. I was talking about that on air, and in the context of speaking about that, someone called me up and asked me about when life begins, and I was talking about how life begins at conception and that it's not only a physical reality, but it's a metaphysical reality as well. So I was talking about all of that in the Bible Answer Man broadcast. A couple heard me talking about this. And that couple decided as a result of the communication on the show that day that they were going to adopt a frozen embryo.
Oh my
and so the frozen embryo arrived via FedEx and was implanted in this lady's uterus and was brought to full term. And then I had the privilege of meeting the little girl that was born. I remember holding her in my arms. I went to their home and held her in my arms. And it was very interesting because the mother said, you know, Elise doesn't allow men to hold her, but she's just cuddled up in your arms. And from that time on, I've had a connection with Elise. And she has come into the studio. And one day she came into the studio, was listening to me do the broadcast, and someone asked the question about frozen snowflakes or whether or not we ought to adopt a frozen snowflake. And she just sent me a picture just a little while ago. I have it in my office. She's 16 years old now, drop dead gorgeous. And Chris and Eric are the proud parents of this wonderful girl, Elise.
Wow. And like you say, it's a metaphysical connection too, that God used you at that moment And he had prepared the hearts of this couple to receive that arrow, that convicting arrow, and the inspiration to even conceive. That's a pun, I guess, to conceive of doing such a thing. And then you'll be bound together somehow in the eyes of God forever because of that moment when you planted the seed in their hearts and they brought it to fruit. It's a wonderful thing.
Yeah, and I suppose the reason I wanted to share that story in this context is so many people think that, well, when does an abortion really take place? Is it the first trimester, the second trimester, the third trimester? People say, is this a clump of cells at one point? Is it a creature? Is it a fish or a frog? And then the second trimester becomes a person. So there are all these questions that are bandied about in this regard. And when you think about how a fertilized human egg, a sperm cell in one human being, fertilizes an egg in another human being, and out of that you have a new human being. And when you see that that fertilized human egg, the size of a pinhead, can be frozen and then a few years later can be implanted in the uterine wall of a woman, and now there's this beautiful 16-year-old. I mean, it immediately lets you know that from the very moment, this is not just a simple cell or a cluster of cells. This is an intricate, majestic masterpiece of God.
The creation of God, and there in that form of that tiny fertilized egg, just waiting. It's like you took the plans, an architect plans for your house, and put it on the ground, and a house built itself.
Mm.
You know, it's that tiny little egg that has everything inside of it when it's fertilized.
Mm.
I find when I argue with people about this, they keep saying it's not a baby. What they mean is it's not a person. They know it's something, but they don't want it to have the rights that a person would have under the U.S. government, under the Constitution. And so I always make three points, that it is human. It is composed of entirely human cells. As you say, it's not a raccoon. It's not a watermelon. It's a human. It is alive. It is living. It is growing. The cells are combining and separating and multiplying over and over and over and over again until it creates, you know, an eventually a beautiful 16-year-old girl. But the most important point is the third one, which is that it is unique, that you can take a cell from the mother, a cell from the father, and this one little cell, the egg with the sperm dissolved in it, and if you examine them, you would find three different DNAs. There are three different people here. It's not just a part of the mother's body. The mother is sheltering it, but it is a different human being. And I find they have no comeback for that. As you've probably found, they really don't want to talk about abortion at all. They will change the subject. They will avoid it if they keep trying to say, you know, it's not a person, and you show them these three points. They'll just change the subject again. Mostly, they like to attack pro-life people and just make it an ad hominem attack, you know, just, oh, you hate women, and you're opposed to sex and opposed to this and that. Because I can't really defend abortion. There's no way to defend it. So they change the subject and attack the messenger.
Yeah, and one of the things that you do so beautifully in your book, Real Choices, listening to women looking for alternatives to abortion, I think one of the great parts of this book is it's not just clinical. You listen to real women. You were involved in a project over a protracted period of time where you're listening to women in different parts of the country and their stories are being told. So you're getting it from the mouths of women who have gone through abortions. And I want you to talk about that because one of the things you say is that you oppose abortion because it violates women's bodies even more deeply than rape does.
Yes.
And this is a hideous violation since it brings grisly death into the very house of life. That's a stunning statement in and of itself.
Yes, yeah. Yes, I began the Real Choices Project. My immediate practical goal was I wanted to help pregnancy care centers meet the needs of pregnant women. And I thought, well, I'll ask them, what are your needs? because we could go on piling up more and more maternity clothes, but maybe that's not what they need. You know what I mean? I was looking to pin exactly what it was pregnancy centers should focus on. And I had three approaches I wanted to take. One, I sent a survey to all the pregnancy centers in America and got back their idea of what they thought they needed and the needs they saw the women having. I wanted to do the same thing with abortion clinics because it would be the same information. You know, I was curious about whether people who go into abortion clinics give the same reasons for their decision as those who end up giving life through the help of a pregnancy center. But I couldn't get any pro-choicers to work with me.
We've run out of time for today's special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Be sure to tune in again next time when we'll continue Hank Hanegraaff's conversation with Frederica Matthews Green, author of Real Choices, Listening to Women, Looking for Alternatives to Abortion. Our firm commitment here at the Christian Research Institute is to defend the faith once for all delivered to the saints and equip believers to become true disciples of Jesus Christ. In appreciation for your vital gift to help strengthen and expand CRI's mind-shaping, life-changing outreaches, Hank would like to send you a copy of Real Choices, Listening to Women, Looking for Alternatives to Abortion. Call a resource consultant at 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit our website, equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by listeners like you. We're on the air because truth matters and life matters more. With over 500,000 copies in print, Hank Hanegraaff's Bible Answer books were born out of his many years of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. He's taken his on-air answers to questions and chiseled them until only the gems emerge. Questions involving biblical interpretation, cults, science, ethics, apparent contradictions, and much more. This remarkable collection of concise answers is now even better. My goal, says Hank, is to take the complex and make it simple and memorable. Receive your copy of the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. That's equip.org.